Well, good morning, everyone. Turn to Numbers chapter 21. This will be our last visit to this particular portion, and I trust that we'll move on in our next assembly to a new study and a new picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been considering here in Numbers 21 that incident when the children of Israel spake against God, verse 5 of chapter 21, and against Moses. And this vexed the Lord and angered the Lord, and he sent a judgment. And the judgment was fiery serpents, verse 6. The Lord sent fiery serpents. That means serpents whose bite was like fire, burned. There's an ant called the fire ant. And if you get bitten by it, it's as if somebody just injected you with liquid fire. It feels as if you're burning. Very, very severe. And there was the same impact effect as a result of the bite of these serpents. But they weren't just painful bites. Rather, they were deadly bites. They were fatal. They died, it says in verse 6. They bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, he shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the work that he was engaged in, the work of salvation. We've considered the fact that the serpent that Moses put up was made of brass, not of clay, or of iron, or of wood, but brass. Because brass in Scripture is ever linked with judgment, the judgment of God. So here is a serpent made of brass. And of course it speaks to us that the means by which God will deliver us from the consequences of sin is through judgment. Through judgment. God will judge sin, the serpent of brass, the cause of the whole problem, the whole blight, the cause of death, was going to be judged. That's what salvation's all about. You are saved through the judgment of sin. Of course, the thing is, the judgment didn't take place in you. It didn't take place in you. The judgment of sin took place in our Savior, and you need ever to bear that in mind. You will notice that the cure for this great plague was made in the likeness of the cause, a serpent of brass. The serpent, that was the cause of it all. And the cure was to be found in the making of a likeness of the cause of the problem. Now there is a scriptural principle there, an important gospel principle there. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, became sin for us. He became sin for us. That's a vital gospel truth. The Lord Jesus becomes sin in order to deliver us from sin. I'm going to read to you some verses from the Scriptures. The older ones can look these up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 21. A very, very key gospel text. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He made him to be sin for us. The cure there that day in the camp of Israel was to be found in the likeness of that which had caused the whole problem, the serpent. And at Calvary, the Lord Jesus was made to be sin. He became a sin, our sin, before God. Our sin was placed on him. Our sin was identified with him. And I can do no better than just to quote what we have just read. He was made to be sin. On the cross, as the Lord Jesus hung there, God the Father saw him as our sin. That's the very heart of the gospel. He was made to be sin. Look at another verse. Galatians chapter 3 and the verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. So Christ was made to be a curse. He was cursed for us. He was cursed for us. He became a sin for us. And that's how we're redeemed. Are you getting the picture? He stood into the place of our sin. He bore our sin upon himself, and he was judged. The cure was found in the likeness of the cause, the curse that had broken out amongst them. Another verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, the verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. 1 Peter 3, 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Christ has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. He was the just one, but he took the place of the unjust. We're going back in Peter to chapter 2 and the verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body. See the emphasis there. His own self, his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes or wounds ye are healed. So, the Lord Jesus was made to be sin. The answer to the bite of the serpent was to be found in the likeness of a serpent being set up in the camp. The Lord Jesus became sin for us and died a sacrifice. He was, I want you to notice, the time element here. God says to Moses in verse 8 of Numbers chapter 21, make thee a fiery serpent. Now he made it of brass, verse 9 tells us. Now listen, how long would that take? You might be able to model it in clay in a very short time, but to make it in brass would take a little time. There's a process there. I'm not an expert, but I would suggest to you they would have to make a model in clay. Then they would have to make a mold of that model. And then they would have to melt brass and fill the mold and let it harden. Now, I suggest all that would take time. You know, that's something that's to be found in God's great plan of salvation. When man sinned in the Garden of Eden, the promise was given right away. Promise of a Redeemer coming right away. But he didn't come right away. They had the promise. They had the hope. Indeed, they had the certainty, for God had given his word that a Redeemer was coming. But the Redeemer didn't come right away. Now, God made a promise here. In verse 8, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live. There's a promise. There's a promise. And those who would have heard that promise would have had hope. They would have said, I don't have to die. God has started a plan by which I can be delivered from the bite of this serpent. I must just wait on God working out his plan. There is a verse in Galatians chapter 4 and the verse 4. That's an easy reference to ever remember. Galatians the chapter 4 and the verse 4. And here's what it says. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. When the fullness of the time was come. If I'm not mistaken, and I'll take just a moment. No. We were looking at our Bibles in the prayer meeting last night, and there was a little reference to time, and I noticed that I had written in the margin, Christ the timekeeper. Christ the timekeeper. Because he did everything according to the right time. You remember on one occasion he said, the hour is come, the hour is come. You see, he was working out the plan that God had made from all eternity. And as Paul said to the Galatians, in the fullness of time, Christ came. So the promise was given as soon as man sinned, but the Redeemer didn't come until quite a time had passed. And there is the suggestion of that here in the story of the brazen serpent. Make a brazen serpent. It was going to involve a process that would take a little time, maybe a day, maybe two, I don't know. But there was the promise given right away. And the people had the promise that a process had begun, and soon there would be in the camp the means by which they would be delivered. And that's the story of the gospel. According to God's great purpose, God's great timetable, the Lord Jesus came. In the Old Testament, the people had the promise that he would come. And that gave them hope. And that gave them the means by which they could, in faith, look to that coming of the Redeemer. And that's what we read of the Old Testament saints. They all died in faith. They all died trusting in the Saviour that would come. And we're seeing him. Oh, boys and girls, there is always this wonderful setting forth, even of the most minor points of the gospel, in the Old Testament pictures. Here's the process of time then suggested to us in the making of the serpent. It was lifted up in the heart of the camp. Moses made a serpent, it says in verse 9 of Numbers 21, and put it upon a pole somewhere in the heart of the camp of Israel, most likely in a close vicinity to the tabernacle, for it lay in the very heart of the camp. The tribes were camped around it, so I'm sure it must have been right there at the tabernacle that the pole was erected on which the brazen serpent was placed. It pictures for us how it is God's purpose and God's plan that this world be given a chance to see Christ, the means of salvation. The gospel's not meant to be hidden away. It's not meant to be hidden away in wee meetings, behind closed doors. But the gospel is meant to be displayed, proclaimed. The disciples were told, as you know, by the Lord Jesus, that they were to go into all the world. Trace the story of the advancing of the gospel in the days of the apostles, and you will find that they went to the major cities. They didn't keep off the main road, as it were. They didn't seek out the back roads and the minor places and the tiny villages. No, they went to where the people were, and they preached. Paul's preaching on Mars Hill, that was a central meeting point in the city of Athens. And Paul went there. That's where the people were. And he went there. God intends the gospel to be heard, his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be seen as the answer to man's sin. So the pole was set up in the heart of the camp. I've said and mentioned this a couple of times in our studies of this passage already, because this is so important, and I'll close with it. God said, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it on a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. What did the ointment that would cure the poison consist of? Looking. Just a look. John the Baptist said, behold, and I'm sure he pointed, he had to point, behold the Lamb of God. Just look at the Lamb of God. Take hold of him with your eyes. Behold him. That's the gospel message. Take hold of the one who is set forth in the gospel. See him as he is set forth in the gospel. Look to him as he is set forth in the gospel. That is God's way of salvation, boys and girls. It is not a message of whoever's bitten by the serpent, if they walk round the pole 10 times, if they say certain prayers a number of times, if they put their hand in their pocket and pay so much money, they'll be cured. No, that's not what Moses was told to tell them. Whoever looks, no matter how weak, the person bitten, maybe they could look. While there was life in their bodies, their eyes would function. And the easiest part of your body to move, your eyes. As many as a person lying in hospital, their physical strength is gone. They can hardly lift a hand. But they can move their eyes. They can move their eyes. Tell me, have you ever looked to the Lord Jesus? Have you ever looked to Him? Have you heard His voice calling you? And have you turned to look? Have you turned to look? Have you looked upon Him as your only hope of salvation? That's God's message for you. That's God's word. I'm so glad today that I can come with a message that requires of you boys and girls nothing more than a look. You can do that right now. You can just lift your heart and look. You can say, Lord, save me. That's what looking means. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Will you look to Christ? Will you behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless your word today to all our hearts. Lord, help us to look to Thee. Remember how old John Bunyan in his wonderful book, Pilgrim's Progress, said that Christian came to the cross and he looked, and he could have looked his eyes away at the wonderful sight of the Redeemer. Lord, may we satisfy our souls by looking to the Savior. Bless us then today. Undertake for the school in all its needs. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.